It is Thursday the 12th of June, and this is episode 211 of Digital Outbox. Welcome to another episode. I'm Chris, joined by Ian. Hello, Ian.
Good evening.
Right.
It's World Cup Day.
It is World Cup Day, which doesn't interest me in the slightest. And actually, had someone not told me, I probably wouldn't have known. What time's the first game?
9 o'clock.
9 o'clock in the evening. Okay. I shall find something suitably interesting to do at that time then.
Hold on. I know you'll be watching Big Brother, you little lying toys.
You know what? I didn't even know Big Brother had started, but now I do. And on demand lets me catch up, so it's all good.
Come on, let it go.
Let it go. It's in the past. We're in game time of the year because it's E3. But we will come on to that. But we'll get through sort of some other news stories first. So we'll end on E3 and all the announcements that have been going on there. But we're going to start today about talking about the government's Get Safe Online anti-hacking site. What's been going on with that?
Basically, it's broke. Or it was broke. There's something fishy about this.
Right.
So we talked about the... What was it? Zeus? Was it some Zeus virus or Zeus... You know, Trojan.
A couple of different threats that they had intercepted. They'd gained control of the bot network and said we had something like 2 weeks before they reckoned the bot would have taken back control again.
Yeah, and we talked about this last Thursday, and it just came out on the Thursday, or it came out in the wedding. I can't remember the exact time scale. And we talked about this Get Safe Online. It's like, why aren't they using the actual cyber emergency readiness team website, which they talked about just the kind of tail end of last year, the start of this year. But this is another, you know, government sponsored and industry backed website. Yep. But it was down as soon as I announced it was basically down.
Got flooded.
Not just for a day, but actually 2 days.
Yeah, so they reckon they quadrupled their capacity, but yet it was still intermittent. But it has since calmed down as people buggered off because they couldn't be asked waiting, probably. But they went with the EA game type server scenario. So put out what you want and then wait for people to get so annoyed they go away. But it couldn't cope under the demand. But I mean, what it does show is that actually people are taking this cybersecurity sort of threat quite seriously to get that much traffic. Maybe they just didn't expect anyone to visit.
What, like 5 people came along?
Yeah.
We could triple the traffic.
We decided we'd take it off Sid's home computer and put it on a proper server.
Yeah, to be fair, this is like probably the biggest push they've went for, you know, like getting out in the public. I mean, BBC News, it was like third headline. It was like there. You couldn't not see it. And you switched on TV.
Justin Bieber was first, obviously.
Yeah, but you switched on at night and BBC News, it was actually on the main bulletin.
It was off all over the place, on all the radio stations as well. Yeah, they're talking about it. Enough that, you know, like my barometers, almost my mum and dad, they've heard of it, so it's definitely out there.
And my mum says, hope you're going to be safe out there, Ian.
In cyberspace.
Cheers, mum.
Here we go.
It's
yay.
Just one cornetto. Give it to me.
There we go. The weekly ice cream run. I should leg it. Right. So that happened. They pointed people towards CERT, which is a cyber emergency readiness team website, instead for people's inquiries while they tried to get all this sorted out. But as you say, this is all sort of backed by industry as well as the government. So hopefully they've got that sorted now. But they have had another bit of a choker. Their online password checker to try and enforce strong password usage basically gave duff results. A known weak password was entered in and it said, yep, you're super secure, well done. But actually it was someone's name and a date of birth. And apparently that would likely in any kind of regular attack be broken within an hour or something along those lines.
Yep. Julia 1984 was recommended as a strong password. And the worst bit, they transmitted that password back to you in plain text. So if you wanted to go and mine passwords, then you could do it with ease.
yeah, for people testing their own passwords out on this site and this checker just to check their passwords are correct, it was then being transmitted around. So it wasn't far from ideal. I think they'll probably get that sorted ASAP. It's easy to laugh. At least they're doing something. They're just not doing it in the right way.
Yes.
But it's still easy to laugh, so we will. Aha. Tesla. He's come out and decided he will put his money where his mouth is and say, I am no longer going to enforce my patents. If you would like to copy my battery technology for your electric car, do it. Go for it. Sounds good.
It does, but it's also, I don't know. So this is Elon Musk.
This is cynical
well,
Ian.
To be fair, there was a rumor earlier in the weekend. They've come out today and says, right, and the way they've put it is they used to have a wall of Tesla patents in the lobby of the headquarters, and they've basically taken them down. And they're saying that if somebody wants to use their technology, crack on. They're not going to pursue you in the courts. We won't do any lawsuits against anybody if they're getting used in good faith. So I guess there's always an option where if they feel that maybe somebody's taking their patent and, you know, is abusing it in some way, or is then...
what does that mean? Does that mean if you do better than we do?
Well, I wondered if that meant if somebody was taking it and then trying to sell on something to somebody else, you know, higher value or doing something. I don't know. I guess there's quite a few things that you could do. And at first I thought, wow, what a step change. And then I was like, why are they doing this? Because they're floated in the stock market, and, you know, patents, whether we like it or not, if you've got some intellectual property,
it's valuable to a shareholder. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, he's turned around and went, well, two fingers to all you stockholders, because we're not going to pursue this anymore. And we've invested all this R&D money. And then I thought, well, is it bigger than that? Are they trying to say, well, to grow electric cars, we need a big network of charging stations, and we need a standard, and this is the only way we're going to get there, or else we'll have, you know, five of the big beast car
Nissan, Ford and all those will do different things, and suddenly different. Because if they come on board and do their own thing, then Tesla's going to be forgotten, because why would you go with this tiny little niche thing?
So yeah. I'm slightly cynical, but then I thought, actually, somebody probably had to do this, you know, set a standard, you know, if all the plugs in the imagine if, like, there wasn't a standard plug,
yeah,
you know, that in your house right now, how would you go and buy a phone and charge it if you had to buy certain plugs for certain phones? And
there's no denying that if someone like a Nissan gets on board and uses the same kind of technologies, the amount of money that Nissan can put to something like that to forward the progress is massive compared to a tiny little, you know, engineering firm. The fact that they've got as far as they have is pretty amazing. But maybe they're just realizing that in order for them to have a bigger market, they need someone else on board. And the best way of doing that, because, you know, a manufacturer would just say, well, we'll just do this ourselves. So they're kind of saying, well, okay, now you've got a little bit of a head start, go down this route. You know, you might be right. Vodafone have come out and point blank admitted to the kind of surveillance and snooping that's going on their telecoms network. So they have published a sort of report on their, they call it a law enforcement disclosure report. It's 40,000 words, and pretty much it says in 29 countries that it operates in Europe and beyond, there are wires into their network, of which government agencies can happily listen to conversations.
It just confirms what, you know, a lot of people, you know, so when Snowden, it's almost a year, I think, since Snowden's, you know, revelations came out, and people were like, no, come on.
Yeah.
And then it was like, oh.
That's Hollywood you're talking about.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And it's not just confirmed it. It's kind of met everyone's worst fears, I guess, really. The fact that really it's pretty much as bad as you can imagine. It's kind of thing like we've said all along, that you heard that Egypt were doing this, and you heard that you know dictator states were doing this all the time, but heck, everyone's doing it basically.
And in some ways it makes a mockery of, if you think of all the different companies around the world that have obviously got security fears themselves about things getting leaked, if everything's being tapped anyway, what's to stop that information leaking, you know? And it's I don't know. I don't know. You said years ago, everything's out there anyway. And it just feels like that now. It just feels like...
No, it really, really does.
Yeah. What is the point of worrying about it? Because if somebody... Sounds like somebody at a government level, somebody wants to get information off you, they'll get it.
And yeah, it's not an issue. But then say, as citizens, do we just sit back and take that stance? Or do you... You know, let it be known that it's, you know, the fact is that, you know, had we known anyway, there would have been an uproar, and that's, they know that. That's why they don't tell anyone.
Exactly. So they listed off the countries where you're not allowed to even disclose that you're not allowed to disclose this. You know, there's a bit you can't even talk about. I'm not allowed to talk about that. You just don't talk about it.
Yeah.
And the problem is there's not a choice right now. You know, it's not like when you said, you know, as citizens, what do we do? There's very little that you can do right now.
You're right. But you can certainly, you know, let it be known by protest or whatever that this is not on. And maybe that will happen. But I think, well, as much as anything, it's just so devastating in some respects that it's a bit like, you know, when one person gets killed and it's on the news, it's awful. But it's no more awful when you hear that 50,000 people have been, you know, through genocide in your head, because you cannot comprehend what that means.
No, I know exactly what you mean, but I think...
I'm kind of over-egging a pudding here. We're talking about surveillance, but it's still, you know, it's that kind of thing. It's just, it's such a factor larger that it's almost impossible to think, oh, what do I do?
I think as well, we've almost become numb to it. See the way The Guardian and said they've got loads of material and we can't just put it all out at once because it's taken us such a long time to sift through. But almost that drip feed, yes, it kept the story going, but also I think a lot of people were like, oh, we know.
Yeah,
it's
a bit
like what we just said, you know, Vodafone's right, so see if this had come out the blue. See if we hadn't had Snowden and none of that was out there and Vodafone put this out, this would have been an absolute shocker.
Yes, exactly.
Instead it was like, oh, well, there you go. There's the first one of the big companies to actually say, yeah, it's happening.
Yeah, come out and point blank say it.
Last year there was a lot of them, you know, your Googles and Yahoo's like, we are shocked.
yeah, but I mean they're shocked, but also they weren't allowed to say anything. Again, that's the whole point, wasn't it? They weren't supposed to say these things, so you know what can they do? Nominet has also decided that privacy is no longer important for private individuals, and you can no longer hide your address from the Whois data lookup search, basically, for Nominet UK addresses, unless you can prove that you are a non-trading and private individual. They will then let you hide your address away. But there's some debate about what a non-trading or not-for-profit individual is. I know it's non-trading. It didn't say anything about profit, actually. So it's kind of just if you take money in any way, maybe a pay-per-click or something.
And exactly, because it's at first I had read it as, well, if you're some sort of shopfront, but then it's the whole pay-per-click. So I think if you've got Google Ads, they're basically saying you can no longer be private.
I don't know why they've decided to say that. There must be a reason why, but they made that kind of point. But I think it's, you know, annoyed some people because they, even while it was still being argued with one particular person, they decided they would publish his address. So he then went and put a PO address up there and said,
I actually just think it's cock because years ago when I first started getting one domains, and I didn't really bother at first, and then I was like, hold on. There's just that whole, you know, it is down to street level. You know,
I don't
no
think about
privacy
it.
At all.
My address is by, you know, a whole ton of addresses. You know, domains shouldn't really say that, but it doesn't really matter. You can go and look it up if you want. But yeah, you're right. You know,
I never used to bother, and then there's a couple of things happened. I actually thought this, I would be smart just to actually take that away. So
it costs money though to take it away normally, doesn't it? It normally charge you another 10 or something.
Not with Dreamhost. Dreamhost, it's just
they're dreamy.
Yeah. So with Dreamhost, it's just and all it is it's I'm now registered to some American address,
mm-hmm.
and it's like and I don't know. As you say, it seems a bit of a surprise that this has come out.
Yeah, there must be a reason behind it. But anyway, they've done it. They've made that change, and that is what it is going to be going forward. If you want a domain name, you've got to have your address out there. Google has been buying up satellites, a company called Skybox Imaging. And basically they are a company who already have, I think it's at least, is it one satellite they've got already, but they plan on launching 24 in total. And this will be to maintain Google Maps up-to-date imagery, basically, which I remember ages and ages ago, we were talking about Google and how they had plans for satellites and stuff. And that at the time, that felt like, you know, complete you know, pie in the sky thinking, but now they're going to have 24 of them.
And the thing is, it's the they'll be able to update a lot quicker than they can just now. And also, this firm does video.
So yes, not, so
so they were showing you videos, and you can see the cars going along roads, etc. And
so their resolution is roughly 1 pixel per meter or something like that. Yeah. And these satellites fly around 16 times around the Earth every day, and they can relay back these 90-second black and white clips. So yes, you know it. Depending on, you know, maybe one day we will literally have that Hollywood thing where you can just watch live images of the Earth as it moves at that meter resolution.
Well, think where we were 5 years ago and mm-hmm. where we're going to be in 5 years. You know, yeah. It's not just going to be, you know, because I remember, was it Bing first did the, you could go to the kind of quarterly views and kind of semi-3D.
Yes. Yeah.
And it was like, wow, that looks fantastic. And it's now, you know, you look at what Apple are doing, you know, they kind of spin round and see it and see all these.
Yeah,
big
when you go to one of their properly mapped cities, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah. Pretty so amazing. It's, I don't know. And I'm sure there must be some sort of privacy thing where it's like, so you're out there and I can be, you know, I'm out there in my garden and somebody can watch me.
For 90 anyway, seconds.
Yeah.
How exciting.
Look at him chop his hedge.
Look at him go.
Exactly.
All right, Gavner. London, London taxi drivers have been getting all out of my arms.
Really? I thought that was Jamaica you were doing.
Yeah, shut up. Basically, they have been protesting, and they've been protesting specifically the Uber app, which allows users to book private taxis and taxis and other methods of transport and gives costings. Is that right? What you're going to have to help me out here. What are they moaning about?
So up until now, you had to be a licensed taxi driver to use a taxi meter. And
right.
what the taxi drivers basically are seeing Uber as providing a taxi meter via that smartphone app.
So the smartphone app tells you how you can get from place A to place B. Is that the aim of Uber?
Well, you can call a taxi or a private taxi via Uber, but it's the fact that when you get in the cab, it was actually starting to tick, tick, tick via this app, and they saw that as far too close to what they're going through as a licensed taxi drive.
But it's you pay the taxi man, so I get, because that's how they take their 5% commission. Is that basically it? So it's having to do an accurate ticker. Okay, well,
and it's all about legislation because they believe when it was stood up, it was all about helping. It's a bit like Halo was all about helping taxi drivers, you know, and private ones weren't part of it, and it was all a kind of registered network and also I think they're seeing it's just another chip away at their market because obviously these apps are taking a cut as well, and they believe there's not a cut to be had, so.
But they could also find that they get more business. It's hard to say, isn't it? You know, is losing 5% of a bigger chunk of business?
Yeah, so
the service.
And by all accounts, it was a fairly big protest. You know, it was like the taxi driver says it was 10,000 drivers. Police said it was 4,000. But no matter, if you looked at the gridlock that caused just for an hour, it was pretty massive, and it kind of extended on. And all, I mean, I had an email from Halo. I think Transport for London pinged out emails saying there's going to be lots of congestion. You're going to have to find another way home because it's going to affect, you know, buses and everything. You know, and obviously then kick on to the, you know, the underground, etc. Yeah. So
I think, you know, I guess their point is the easier you make it for someone to get a private taxi firm, the less point there is to go to a taxi rank. So these apps make it very, very easy to go and, you know, go and get a private taxi. Therefore, why, you know, from your door. So why would you then bother going to a taxi rank? So I'm assuming they're annoyed for a, you know, legitimate reason. But
they also said because this was supporting the private networks, somebody can just set up a private hire cab, not have went through the knowledge and all the training that they go through, and just have, you know, a smartphone with a, you know, a sat nav on it, and
but,
just
but
get
maybe
people
you
around.
Know is that the future, and is that, you know, is that really what, you know.
And there's going to be some of that because obviously the sat navs are now trying to intelligently mimic somebody with the knowledge who thinks they know all the shortcuts by saying, well, I know that particular shortcut's already queued up, so I'll go this way. You know, so yeah,
in theory, an app should have, you know, should be even better at working that all through.
Yeah. And Uber, to be fair to them, they turned around and launched a new service called Uber Taxi and basically said, taxi drivers, you could sign up to Uber Taxi so somebody can use Uber to get, you know, a private cab, or they can use Uber Taxi and get a black taxi, which is what Halo have been doing. And I used Halo last year and it worked a treat, you know, because they were, although everywhere in London's always busy, the bit we're at wasn't much passing traffic. Mm-hmm. But we're able to, you know, there's a cab, it'll come, it comes to you, takes you to where you want to go. I didn't have to hand over cash. It was all just done.
Yeah.
And it was like, that was fantastic. That was really easy. All the receipts are there, hooked up to my expenses. Great. You know, it was a hassle-free way of doing it, apart from a particularly grumpy taxi driver.
He hated you. And, Twitter.
No, I was just going to say, Uber had an 850% rise in sign-ups yesterday as well.
All that good publicity. Yeah. Twitter is going to be an integral part of the Xbox One TV experience that we still don't know anything about. Effectively, they are going to on-screen integrate Twitter streams based on what you're watching. So there'll be hashtags and whatever app replies coming up. And also in the guide, you will see hashtags displayed so you can sort of contribute if you like. And there will be trending topics. So when you're in the guide, you'll be able to see that everyone's watching Gogglebox.
if I'm not distracted enough already.
Yeah, I know. It doesn't sound amazing to me, but obviously Twitter has the ambitions and Microsoft was quite happy to implement them. So who knows where it will lead, but at the moment it doesn't really interest me in the slightest. So let's get on with games. So E3 is going on at the moment.
Sorry, I'm just watching a dog crap at my next door neighbor's door, and I'm making sure the owner picks up the crap, because if he doesn't, I'm going to go down and deal with him. So hold on a minute.
Watch this space.
Oh, fair play, he's dealing with it.
He's dealing with his dog. So let's go through the briefings. Now, you know, cards on the table here. I haven't had a chance to watch any of the briefings yet. So although I know some of the bits and bobs that are going on, I might be relying on you a little bit to sort of point us in that.
I'm ready.
Let's get revved about some things. So we've got our Call of Duty Advanced Warfighter. That's coming at the beginning of November. So it's going to be a Christmas game. Whoops.
Set 40 years in the future. And lots of future tech type stuff. Looked all right, but it's Call of Duty.
Yes. Forza, we've got Nürburgring released today for free. And they've announced Horizon 2.
And Horizon 2 looked, I can't say it didn't look nice. Set in Europe, 1080p, dedicated servers. It has weather. So the first time a Forza game's got weather.
Mm-hmm. Forza 1 kept me interested for probably longer than most games did at that point.
Yeah.
But it was that open environment. It was good to, you know, play around. As long as enough people buy it, that's the thing.
Yeah.
Assassin's Creed Unity, so they're already going on about the next one. Another game that looks good.
It looked actually very good, and this is written specifically for the kind of next gen. Yeah, so it's really the current gen now.
Yes.
But really the next gen platforms only, so it's Xbox One, PC and PS4.
And the amount of stuff they're shoving, as in they're talking about it quite a lot now, so is it not very far away?
I still thought it was November. I still thought it was October, November.
We're talking at end of year then still.
I think it's just, as a demo, it's very impressive. It looks really good.
Sunset Overdrive. What's that?
Just as an Xbox exclusive, it's a kind of over-the-top shooter. Lots of crazy environments, very colourful, lots of swearing. And
we're talking Team Fortress 2 type?
Plus more on adrenaline, on drugs. Okay. You know, it's very, very different looking.
Team orientated? Unknown.
No, it was single player, or okay. You can do 8-player, you know.
Yeah, fair enough.
That nonsense.
Okay, October 28th for that. Fable Legends. So you can play as a team of heroes or be one villain.
Yeah.
Beta's coming in fall.
Yeah, so it was trying to do something different, you know. Yeah. So if you want to play that, because usually with these games, you either are the hero or, you know, you're all villains and stuff. So it was, and it looked good, but I don't know, Fable's just never really clicked for me.
I really love Fable. I never bought the Kinect version of it, though. I think that was a, you know.
What's Kinect?
Yeah, exactly. Right, wrong turn. But I really like the Fable, so I will be looking out for that one and see where it goes. But we're talking beta in fall, so we're not talking till next year.
No, it's next year. Next year.
Okay, here we go. Halo Master Chief Collection. So this is enough to get your juices flowing. So this is effectively a next-gen release of Halo 2, 3, and 4, including 100 multiplayer maps that are all unlocked when you first get it, all running at full res, 60 frames per second, with dedicated servers there as well.
Yeah, and 4,000 gamer score.
So you can get you some gamer score as well. And you know what? It's kind of a sad state of affairs that actually that really does quite... I find that quite exciting.
Yeah, so do I. I was reminiscing with Robert at work just on the old Halo 2 classic maps that we just poured so much into.
And so the way it sounds like they're going to bring out all as many classics as they can, effectively.
Well, the way it's going to work, so you can play the individual games, obviously, but with multiplayer, they're basically going to just give you a voting engine. So they'll serve up a map, tell you which Halo it's from, and you vote on it, and then it'll load that engine up. The 100 maps are available all at the same time. So you might, they might say, you know, there's a map from 2 and 2 from 4, and everybody will vote for the ones from 2, and that'll be the one that loads.
Okay. So they've done that voting before, but this just means that it's all available. That's pretty amazing sort of technical feat to actually get that all.
Yeah.
Done, so that's
and amazing. And there's a couple of things like Halo 2 suffered from like deranking. So there's a different way of, you know, boosting your character. And then obviously taking it down, and that's why it crippled it, because Halo 2, and, you know, if you came up a team who were just dear, and that was the thing, you go into a room and you just hear one.
If they were on your team, you'd be screwed.
Well, you just say, I'm deranking, and you just start shooting you, and you'd be like, oh, Jesus, you know, it was a game wrecker. And I'm sure they'll be smart enough to not, and they said that in one of the interviews, you know, we're not talking about that right now, but don't worry.
Yeah, fair enough. And you can also switch between old graphics and new graphics, is that right?
For Halo 2. So Halo 2 is the only one. What they're saying is Halo 3 and 4, because it came out in 360, they feel they didn't have to do that because 1080p, 60 frames per second is enough for that.
Yep.
For Halo 2, they felt they had to polish it. And also it is 10 years since Halo 2 on November 11th.
That's a long time, isn't it?
It is a long time.
I just hope your little pink glasses aren't, your rose-tinted glasses aren't going to be destroyed.
I think they are a bit, because they showed you a bit of multiplayer and it felt so slow.
Yeah, exactly.
But then if I think back to how things played, you know, there was a certain style about Halo 2 that wasn't in COD, for example, and wasn't in Battlefield, and that was what I liked about it.
But they have confirmed that they're not going to... So the playing style will be reminiscent of the style of the game that it's from. So where they did tweak for later games. You're suddenly not going to have jetpacks in Halo 2, for example.
No. Even in the original Halo, which didn't have, obviously, Xbox Live multiplayer, it was just local on the machine. Because I used to remember me, Graham and Roy...
We had a university party. We all brought our Xboxes around.
Me, Graham and Roy Roy was such a, if he listens to this, because I'm laughing and I'm hoping he's going to laugh too. He was such a, used to pay, Diet Brew Boy. That was, and he used to have his character, I'm laughing, he used to have his character orange so that he would watch the quadrant. He would see his character appear when one of us was about to snipe him, and he would be watching our screen, then he would run away. That's a cheating dog that he is.
My orange character, yeah.
And you'd always like, you're what? And you'd always like, no, I'm not. With that impish, cheeky grin, like, yeah, I am. So that was only on the Xbox you could play that, but that's now going to be available multiplayer. And that had the old pistol, you know, three headshots and you're dead.
Yeah.
So all that kind of stuff there.
Okay. Halo Nightfall is Ridley Scott's live action. Yeah, should we leave it at that? Halo 5 Guardians beta. So we're going to see that in December.
Yes. So as an overall package, because they're not charging, you know, like 100 quid for this. This is going to be a standard game price. That's pretty damn good value. Even though I know it's old games, that is pretty spectacular.
No, say good for them and good for us.
And maybe it's a sad state of affairs that was almost my E3 highlight.
Okay, so there's lots of indie games have been announced. There's a game from the makers of Limbo.
Which looked amazing. It's called Inside. And these are, I should also point out, all the rest we talk about in Xbox now are all 2015.
Yes, so the We're a while off yet. It's sad, isn't it? Really, never mind.
But inside, very stylistic. Looked amazing. Looked like you were watching an independent cartoon. Loved the look of it.
We got Lara Croft.
Yeah.
The Witcher 3.
Ugh.
Phantom Dust.
And that was a reboot, so that was some classic Xbox game that I can't remember, but everybody got super excited.
Okay. The Division. So that's now talked about in 2015, so it's a way off still. But that interested us from the initial launch side of things, didn't it? That was looked cool.
So Division was talked about last year, and again, the demo this year looked really good. But I'm almost kind of reluctant to, you know, if I think back...
Don't get excited about it yet.
Watch Dogs and Ubisoft and the downgrade. So I'm sure at some point we're going to find out this high-rendered, you know, this £10,000 PC that you're watching this on, your 400 quid Xbox One ain't going to cut it.
Scalebound.
Oh, some dragon pre-rendered guff.
Crackdown.
Woohoo!
Yeah, so now Crackdown's one of those games. We loved the original. The second just didn't quite work, did it? It just didn't quite meet up. They lost their magic.
Was
superb. A proper sleeper classic as well. We had hours and hours of fun in that game.
Because the multiplayer was fun. But even if there was nobody, and you'd be playing it, and then you'd be like, and you're doing co-op, and you'd be like, oh, I need to get that orb, and you'd just randomly go off, and nobody fussed, everybody was like, yeah, go and get it, there you go.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, like you could be in the same game, but completely independently, just go and do whatever you want to do. That was great. But notable by their absences. So we haven't no talk of what, you know, their Xbox being a media box. So they did announce beforehand that they were going to concentrate on E3. They were going to concentrate on the games.
And that's fair enough. But see, if you think back to last year, every announcement, not the media ones, but every announcement talked about power of the cloud, our Azure servers and Kinect. And those last three did not get mentioned once. They were what was noticeable, even the Halo collection and like Forza, when they talked about the dedicated servers, they all now said powered by Xbox Live, which was sensible because who wants to care if it's an Azure server?
No one cares. The reason they were saying Azure was just to try and cross sell to you know, other people. Yeah. So yeah, no, it didn't made no difference. So they did say they're only going to concentrate on games, so I can understand the media absence. But yeah, you're right. The Kinect is obviously notable by its quietness.
And I've also now said when they kind of released. Was it before E3? They've actually said that this latest update that's now out, you know, we have now released some extra power to developers. And I think Bungie have turned around and says, yep, slightly better resolution now for Destiny.
Brilliant. Okay. Let's crack on through. So Sony's announcement, they talked about Destiny. 17th of July, they've got a beta that's time exclusive, so they actually get it earlier than everyone else.
Yes.
I'm looking forward to Destiny. I think everyone has to really. It's good. It's going to be good.
It looks fantastic.
Yeah. They're going to release a white PS4 as well. How exciting. Alongside. The Order, 1886, 2015.
Yeah. And The Order does look very special, but lots of kind of quick time eventy type things. So yeah. I'm not so sure.
The Infinite. So we've got some Second Son downloadable content.
And the only reason I put this in. You don't need the actual original game to play the
So actually get the
content.
Game by downloading the downloadable content.
Yeah.
Or do you just get the downloadable content? I guess, whatever. Little Big Planet 3, more of the same, but sort of bigger and better, I guess. Bloodborne.
And this was kind of leaked just before it, and it's called Project Beast, but this is a kind of, is it Dark Souls that gets lots of press about you know, it's dead hard and all that. This is from the same lot and it looks creepy, good, hard.
Grim Fandango, there's a name I haven't heard for ages. There we go.
Yep, so PS4 and Vita.
No Man's Sky.
This was my highlight.
Okay, because I've heard of this. I'm sure I've seen this somewhere.
So, and I think, what is the name of the game awards that come out at the end of the year in America? And they do lots of kind of exclusive things in it. Is it Spike? Is it something There's some sort of game awards in America. And it's now become like they kind of do it as there's an award, but here's this new game coming out next year. And here's an award, and here's this new game coming out this year. And one of the ones that came out of nowhere was No Man's Sky last year, which is it's a independent three-man studio in the UK, and it's all procedurally generated planets, and you can fly anywhere.
I think we might have even talked about this
because I love this, And what they announced was that it's coming to PS4. That'll be the console debut. So they're being very vague about whether it'll go anywhere else apart from PC and PS4. But again, just looked fantastic.
This is a very stylized thing. Graphics are nothing necessarily that special, but it's so stylized that it's the sum of its parts. And
what I love is there's a 12-minute interview from the developers and some good questions in there. But he's like, this is a science fiction game, and yes, you're in an MMO, but it's the opposite of an MMO, in that everybody's going to start on a unique planet in the same shared universe. But the chances of you ever stumbling across another player, not impossible, but very remote because it's so big.
Amazing, yeah. So they've got big ambitions.
They have massive ambitions. And they talked about, if I go to a planet and I kill a bird, if you then go to the planet, that bird will still be there because they're not going to make it totally 100% persistent.
Mm-hmm.
But if I go and wreck and take out a mountain or take out some sort of power station on there, you'll not see that power station. It'll be destroyed. So there are some bigger things that are going to be persistent across this universe. So massively ambitious. I just can't wait.
I don't know how they're going to balance all that, but yeah, that's their problem, mine.
It's so ambitious, but it's one of the few games that, bloody hell, that is exciting. I want to play that, and with a Morpheus headset on, I just oh, come on,
get on with it. Yeah, like it. Where am I up to? Share button.
So Sony did, Microsoft, all they did was games. There's nothing else.
Yep.
Nothing about hardware, nothing about price. And I guess they got all that out the way beforehand, because remember we said...
Yes, they announced all the pricing beforehand, yep.
Yeah, and that just meant 2 hours of games, because I think they felt they had to almost hit a reset button and focus on, we need to do games. Sony, however, it's a far better place, so it's like share button can just go direct to YouTube. So you've done something really good, share it straight to YouTube. Out there you go. PlayStation Now, so this is their streaming service for playing back catalog games. So open beta starts US and Canada July 31st. Shortly after that, it'll be available for PS3 and PS Vita. It starts on PS4, first of all. But also interestingly, on select Sony TVs later this year. So you buy a telly and it'll have PlayStation Now built in. You'll be able to, play, without having a console, you'll be able to get a joypad and just play directly off your telly, which is
They're kind of going hot down this, because they've also properly announced their PlayStation TV. This is their kind of almost sling box for their PS4. So you can sling your PS4 to another TV in your house. So you're not tied to that living room experience. You can go up and play it in the bedroom or in the playroom, whatever.
Yeah, so you can play Watch Dogs without sitting in front of the console, or you can watch a whole of the TV services on it, or some older arcade games and Vita games. And so £85. So that kind of... 80 to 100 price point that the Fire and the Apple TV and the Roku are all in, that's in the same place.
Yep. Mortal Kombat 10, higher resolution, all those kind of things. What else we got? So we got Metal Gear Solid 5, The Last of Us is being remastered for PS4, and Grand Theft Auto 5 is coming in fall 2014. So if you want to play that game more.
And initially that looked like an exclusive because it didn't appear obviously in the Xbox show, but it is coming out for Xbox One as well.
Yeah, and you'll be able to take your character across and have to start again.
Seemingly only on the PS4, not on the Xbox. That is the exclusive bit. And also they've said PS3 and Xbox 360 players, so it's not just PS3. So they're obviously fairly big statement. And I couldn't get it confirmed. But nobody else was talking about that being available on Xbox, so it looks like that is an exclusive to PS4.
Okay. Also, they talked about Batman Arkham Knight 2015 and Uncharted 4 2015. So way off before some of these big charts, they're all sort of vaporware until we see more stuff about them. Nintendo briefly there, releasing their kind of, their latest sort of sets of IP, I guess. New Legends of Zelda game, though, that's a good one. This is kind of much more open worldy, apparently.
And I actually thought it looked fantastic. It was again very, it was the kind of animation style, very cartoony, not a kind of shiny, that kind of, see everything at the moment, it's all shiny renders, if you know what I mean. I don't know what else to call it, it's getting a bit tiring. And this looked fantastic because I because Shaq gave up during the Microsoft one. He says, this is rubbish. And then he was like, right, I'm selling my PS4. That's it for me. I'm not playing games. That's it. I'm done. And then the next night I was online, he was like, oh my God, have you just seen Zelda? And he is actually going to pick up a Wii U tomorrow.
Yeah, there you go. Well, that's what they kind of need. That's why they're doing it.
I think it's a combination. Mario Kart's out just now, and they're saying it's like the best Mario Kart. I have reminded them that when we played Mario Kart back in the day, and terrible motion sickness. So
yeah, and that can't have got any better, right?
But The Legend of Zelda looks fantastic, and it's out next year.
They're talking about Yoshi's Woolly World, Captain Toad Treasure Tracker, and a number of other things. That's just, I've probably skipped over a whole ton.
I think the big one was obviously Zelda looked amazing, but also Star Fox. So again, another big title from the Nintendo 64 days.
They've got such a massive amount of IP, haven't they?
They have, and that's the kind of tragic thing. You know, there's the they have got, you know, like I'm trying to think, Xbox has like got Halo, and then you're starting to think, oh well, there's Gears of War, but it's always like Halo.
Yep.
And in Sony, it's like, you would probably say, what, Uncharted is a big one.
Wipeout.
And but where was Wipeout? You know what I mean? As gutted, there's no Wipeout. Give me Wipeout. Yeah. And they've sold off the team. The team that built Wipeout is no longer exists.
Right, okay.
And surely at some point, so, and I did it as a tweet the day before. Surely we're going to get Wipeout with a Morpheus headset. They cannot launch.
It'd be a missed opportunity if they don't, right?
Oh, so much.
Yeah. Okay, well, that was sort of Nintendo side of things. Like I say, we've cut that short again, but that's probably fair enough based on the fact that they're not that good. EA Briefing, they came out and showed us a bit of Star Wars Battlefront. So back to Star Wars again, 2015. DICE are going to be the developers for that.
And God, that looked good.
Yeah, I mean, I remember I wasn't really into the Battlefront games, but when I played Battlefront Star Wars, the original one, it was pretty epic.
This looked amazing, and they trotted out a whole load of, you know, we've been on set of the original Star Wars to shoot in the same place.
Oh wow, okay.
And it was like, this looks, yeah, this, come on, looks, bring it,
bring it. Dragon Age Inquisition, so the next Dragon Age game, that always is a big big one for them. Mass Effect, so they're going to bring out a new Mass Effect. It's going to be on a different story. They will have tie-ins to the existing storyline just to keep the fans happy.
But they didn't even say next year for that. They just said this is a very early drawing board esque visit.
I think that came quite a lot in this, didn't it? It was these are all again vaporware until we know anything more. The Sims, they're going to be releasing a new Sims. Whoop de doo. The kind of normal games that they would release, so your NFLs and NHLs and UFCs and things like that. I'm going to skip down some of these because I can't be arsed. A new Mirror's Edge would interest people.
A new Mirror's Edge would interest people. I think the other one was that new Criterion game. So they were the ones behind Burnout. And basically, lots of people have described this as like a GoPro game because it's they've been influenced by all the people taking like their selfies on doing crazy stunts. And they're basically making a game out of it. So a whole load of, you know, like ATVs, jet bikes, planes, helicopters, the wing things that you can jump out planes and fly through, mountains and stuff, all that stuff.
You know, normally I would say that kind of game would not interest me in the slightest. The only bit that's sparking is the fact that it's by Criterion and they've done such a good job.
Exactly. Because also, again, very early concept stuff. So probably 2016.
Wow. FIFA 15, they're giving players memory, whoop. And a Battlefield Hardline, what's that?
So Battlefield Engine, but it's cops versus robbers.
Right, okay.
So the kind of 15-minute demo they had was like Heat. You know, you're playing the thief, you just got the loot, and basically loads of crazy cops chasing you, but all your team of, you know, cooks try to get away, rampaging through a city. And it looked, if you don't think Heat, also think of the start of Dark Knight. You see the Joker and the zip lines across buildings and stuff, all that stuff.
Okay, cool.
And I've just got the beta tonight, so I will go and give it a play.
Yeah, let us know. So that's kind of EA. Ubisoft showed Far Cry 4. Have we not already had Far Cry 4?
No.
Right, here we go. Far Cry 4. Division, which was obviously a big one that they announced at the Xbox kind of launch. But
Far Cry actually looked pretty amazing.
Well, Far Cry's always looked amazing. I've never played the series, but it's always looked good.
Yeah.
The Division, so that, yeah, that was a big one that they announced at the Xbox launch, but hasn't, we've not really heard anything since. The Crew, what's that?
Big open world racing driving game.
Okay.
So what was the
driving crew?
What was the one? Test Drive Unlimited? Mm-hmm. So I think it's like that, but they've got some hard, edgy kind of stuff in it.
I'd say The Crew sort of sounds a bit like, you know, Need for Speed, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Assassin's Creed Unity. So they're talking about that lots at the moment. So that's towards the end of this year, they're going to be chuffing that one out. Rainbow Six. Not heard Rainbow Six for a while now, have we? So
no, there was a demo. There was a lot of Rainbow Six a couple of years ago, and they talked about it, but they announced this show that they've scrapped it, and they've restarted and called it Rainbow Six Siege.
And this is supposed to be a different sort of game type, so it's not quite just a shooter, really.
Yeah, a bit more. But I think Rainbow Six always was a bit more tactical with your squad.
Yes, so that was always designed to be. Wasn't it? It kept interest for a while.
Yep,
for sure. And that's the main ones. You've highlighted Alien Isolation.
Oh, this looks amazing. This is like, oh,
this looks amazing because
so?
It's got Oculus support, right? Not that you're fickle here.
You can see through me.
Yep.
If you've not got an Oculus, I still think Alien Isolation to me stood out as one of like the games. So see when I look at all the kind of highlights, I love the look of just the Halo pack, just the sheer quantity of nostalgia. I loved No Man's Sky, which is probably going to be next year. They're not releasing dates on it at all because they'll just pressurize themselves. So they'd rather, let's get it done and get it out. And for me, it was Alien Isolation. I just thought that looked
so amazing. This one, so this is a survival horror game. And I guess you get dumped in a ship and it's dark and it's lots of noises. And I guess if you have got the headset on, it's going to be pretty scary.
And it's all the old, it's got the kind of, you know, the trackers. You know, can you remember the little tracker that
boop,
was the kind of,
bloop,
yep.
Bloop, bloop,
yep. All that kind of stuff.
Us.
And lots of steamy, smoky,
yeah,
you know, lots of steam. And as it clears, there's an alien right in front of you.
That was my alien gun.
All right. I thought it was a cat purring.
Yeah. It did sound more like a cat purring. Never mind. So that was E3, and I'd say I am actually looking forward to catching up with some of this on just catching up with the videos and stuff, so to actually go and see some of this stuff moving around. But gaming looks good, but it looks good in kind of 2015, really. It's only the end of this year. There's still not a lot to fill the hole.
And in some ways, I mean there's like there's obviously the standard stuff that we know comes out, like your FIFAs, etc.
Yeah.
They showed you PGA Tour, and this is using a Frostbite engine. It all looked really good until they showed you it's actually gone quite crazy. And one of the maps, and I'm saying map quite deliberately, not deliberately, but the reason I've said it is there's basically you're playing a shot and out of nowhere a big battleship comes crashing through the golf course and you play over the, and you're like, no.
Yeah.
And I'm more interested in
it's kind of what can we do with our engine?
Exactly. And there's another game coming out, and it's on an early Steam release right now, but it's coming to the consoles, called The Golf Club, and that's all about a bit more realistic, less kind of, you know, PGA with your pressure buttons to apply spin, and also there's a course editor, so people can start to generate their own courses, and it's like that's looks more interesting.
Yeah.
And I'd rather go and play something like that.
Yeah.
And there is a. There's a lot of the kind of indie / arcade games that looked far more appealing because some of these big titles, there's, you know, for all Watch Dogs is nice polish, it's a cheap GTA.
Yeah, so you'd rather play GTA, kind of thing.
And even, I mean, I never finished GTA last year. I know you did.
I got to the end of the story. Yeah, I didn't complete as far as 100% by any stretch.
And whether I pick it up again will just depend on how much is kicking around.
I was going to say, because it might be the only thing to go and play. That's what it looks like right now, doesn't it? That's unfair, I know, but it's not far off. Everything's coming. Everything really juicy is this Christmas or beyond. So
I don't know. Destiny. So Destiny's coming out in September, and I think Destiny.
Oh,
looks...
stop with your. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Prove me wrong.
And also, so I mean, there's a couple of games on here that we've not talked about that I think. So Drive Club, Sony deliberately didn't talk too much about Drive Club because they'd already done a lot of pre-E3 announcements on it. It looks phenomenal. Project Cars, again, looks fantastic.
Well, that game's been in development for years on PC. Yeah. They've been doing that. They kind of did a crowdsource. That's one of the first crowdsource type.
Yep. I think there's a really
lots to be going on with. Lots to be going on with.
I just think there's quite a lot bubbling under.
Yeah, yeah. That whole industry, they've got to earn their next few billion because they've laid themselves this foundation of making all this money and they have to employ a lot of people and now they've got to keep that going. So they've got to keep bubbling away at something. But yeah, gaming looks bright. It looks bright. That's the end of our coverage for this week. Well done for getting through another long episode. You can find out more if you wish at digitaloutbox.com, and you can talk to us by email info@digitaloutbox.com and Twitter and Skype. We're on as Digital Outbox. I am on Twitter as CheesyUK and my blog is academyracer.co.uk. Ian, where can we find you?
My Twitter is Sweeper. My blog is END.net. I am pleased that you survived your European trip.
No, not everyone did. Well, they did. Their cars didn't, though. Yeah, unfortunately, we had four of my compatriots ended up with pretty much no cars left, which is a bit unfortunate. There were some hard walls to hit, and one guy even had a big fire, which was a little bit exciting and scary to see all at once, basically.
Exciting. Everyone is okay. Yeah, exciting wasn't the first word when I saw the picture. I was like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it was. It's, you know, everyone's okay, so good for that. But it's, you know, it's an expensive business when that happens. That's what you kind of forget when you see accidents on TV. You just think nothing of it. But when you're funding the outcome of it, it suddenly becomes very, very much more real.
Anyway, yeah. Important stuff. Did you win?
Second in race one and fourth in race two.
Well done.
Unfortunately, the guy I've got to keep beating is he got first in race one and third in race two. So he was just ahead of me each time, which is a little bit frustrating.
He just slipped some drugs in his drink beforehand.
Maybe. He's a nice guy, though.
And?
I know. Look, test him for drugs.
Chris, just remember, nice guys don't win.
On that bombshell, thank you very much for listening, and we'll talk to you again next week. Goodbye.
Goodbye. That could have only been bettered if you'd done a Muttley laugh.